Hello and welcome to International Media with me, Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel. This week's program will take us to Ireland, but first we'll make a stop in Turkey. The country is going to polls today in parliamentary elections amid fears of a clampdown on freedom of the press. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has launched aggressive attacks on media houses in the past few weeks, as his ruling party, AKP, is under pressure with opinion polls suggesting it may need to form a coalition. Last week, after a New York Times editorial said there were dark clouds over Turkey, Erdogan denounced the paper as trash and even said it had a tradition of vivifying Turkish leaders. What's more, he personally filed a criminal complaint against the editor-in-chief of Cumhuriyet newspaper Can Dündar over a story saying Turkey had sent arms to rebels in Syria. Ahmet Sabancı, a Turkish digital rights advocate, says this kind of attacks on the press is quite common.
They were doing this all the time since the Gezi. Whenever someone talks against them or criticizes them, they always accuse them either being terrorists or traitors or something else. So it was very expected reaction, but the surprising one is the president himself decided to take this court personally. It was the main shocking event for me. In my opinion, they can't understand what being opposition or what being critical means, because they think that all the opposition parties are trying to bring them down, which is why opposition parties are here and why someone criticizes them. They can't understand why anyone wants to criticize them.
Of course, this also comes ahead of elections. Do you think that could be linked with the upcoming elections?
Well, probably, because they wanted at the upcoming election, they didn't like the upcoming poll results and they are afraid that they can lose majority. It's not clear what will happen, but they are very afraid about it, and since the election campaigns begin, they didn't have much thing to say to people. They always try to defame other parties or defame other groups to keep their votes, and having that event and Cumhuriyet event, they thought that maybe going hard with that and trying to attack them can gain some power or keep some of their votes in the house.
We spoke about a year ago during the presidential elections and we talked about how the Turkish press was covering the election. Well, it wasn't great, as I remember. And how's the coverage of this election?
Nothing really changed, but at least some of the groups, like, for example, Doğan Media Group, which includes Hürriyet, Posta, CNN Türk and Kanal D, these are some of the biggest networks of Turkey. They decided to go more objective and try to invite every party joining the election possible. But interestingly, none of the AKP representatives or candidates never joined any of these TV shows or interviews. They decided to block them out, and maybe if we never go there, no one will watch the opposition groups.
We'll have to see what comes out of this Sunday's parliamentary elections. If the AKP lose their power in parliament, the question then is what effect might that have on press freedom in Turkey? Now from Turkey, let's move over to Ireland. The country is hailed as one of the best places in the world for journalists. But Ireland's respect for freedom of the press was challenged this week when two of the biggest media outlets were barred from reporting on a story on Dennis O'Brien, the richest man of the island. Earlier this week, I spoke with Seamus Dooley, the secretary of the Irish National Union of Journalists. He explained how it all started.
Dennis O'Brien is a billionaire. He is the wealthiest man in Ireland and a huge interest in media organizations and in global telecommunication. There is a bank, a specific bank in Ireland, which is state-owned, and the allegation by the MEP, or TD as we call them in Ireland, was that the bank, IBRC, had given favorable interests to Dennis O'Brien. She alleged in Parliament that the rates were favourable and that special treatment had been given to Mr. O'Brien, who of course is a very powerful figure in Ireland, Mr. O'Brien reacted by instructing his solicitors to issue writs or legal orders to a number of newspapers. The newspapers then interpreted this to mean that they could not publish the comments made by the MP. What is important to stress is that he had already secured a court order against the newspaper, or indeed against RTE, the National Broadcasting Organization, preventing them from broadcasting a documentary.
Which is why then the RTE and the Irish Times as well decided not to run with the story.
Yes, because essentially what they decided, mistakenly in my view, that the existing order covered comments in Parliament. And last week, the National Union of Journalists, of which I am secretary, said that media organisations had let the public down, essentially. We have in Ireland, as you have in France, a very special respect for democracy. And members of Parliament enjoy what is called parliamentary privilege. But the tone and threatening, menacing tone of the correspondence was such that the national broadcaster, RTE, the independent paper Irish Times, that they decided not to broadcast or to publish Deputy Murphy's statement. Not surprisingly, it was also not broadcast by or published by the media organisations owned by Mr. O'Brien. However, the other online media organisations, broadsheet, social media organisations, decided to publish comments. So you had a sort of crazy situation where some people were publishing and some people were not. And also, just to add complication to the story, at all times it was available on the Houses of Parliament website.
Because that's a right guaranteed in the Constitution, right? That's one of the issues here, is that normally the Irish Constitution guarantees free reporting on what is going on in Parliament.
Absolutely, and there is what's called privilege, and the privilege means the right to make comment without being sued. Parliament is sovereign in a republic, and also then the right of the media to report is sovereign. So what happened was that the national broadcaster, RTE, and the Irish Times went to the High Court, and they asked the judge on Tuesday for direction. And it was something of an Alice in Wonderland type of case, because to everyone's surprise, Mr. O'Brien's senior counsel, his lawyer, stood up and said, "Oh, but judge, we never meant that order would prevent the media from doing its job. Of course, Deputy Murphy's comments could have been published." And this was a surprise to those who had received the letters, the solicitor's letter saying you should not publish.
Reading through some comments online, it seems that some people are saying RTE and the Irish Times should have run with the story anyway.
Well, my view is that you have to make a distinction between RTE and the print media. RTE were the subject of a court order. So perhaps, just perhaps, you can forgive RTE. I would have liked to see them going to court earlier. They could have gone to court immediately that the comments were made. It could have happened within 24 hours. I think the national print media were in a different position. I think that they should have published and then said to Mr. O'Brien, "Do your worst. Take us to court and we will defend in court the right of the Constitution." But newspaper editors don't act without legal advice in Ireland. So what one has to question is the quality of the legal advice available to the national newspapers in the immediate aftermath of the statement. I would have liked to have seen maybe more robust judgment, editorial judgment. In addition to that, I would perhaps have liked to see a little bit more indignation by the Irish media. Mr. O'Brien is very powerful in Ireland. He is a very intimidating figure because of his wealth and power and influence. And I think that that, in some ways, led to a silence which we in the National Union of Journalists will be very worried about. And in a way, it was the comments made by his press spokesman over the weekend, where he referred to Parliament as a talking shop, that eventually people thought, hold on a moment, we are citizens of a republic. We have a right to challenge what is going on here. So the mood changed, and by Monday, people got very angry. We have never seen an attempt before to subvert the will of Parliament.
As Dooley told me, this mix-up, even though it was quickly resolved, reminds us that press freedom can always be threatened, even in places who are at least sometimes taken for granted. And this brings us to the end of our program for RFI. I'm Fabien Janik Charbonnel. Thank you.